Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Nancy C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in today from California, originally from Ann Arbor. Today is Friday, the 17th of January, 2025. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 72, the second paragraph. The eighth sentence, time after time, newcomers have tried, reading to the end of that paragraph. And today's readers are, and thank you for your service, on the 12 steps, Hanayeta R., on the 12 traditions, Anita L., readers today of the text, Nancy R., Tamara C. is page 164, and Benita L. is our backup. Newcomer greeter and second hour host is Leah S., and announcements will be Janice P.M. And the reference numbers for yesterday's meeting, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 22,086. That's 22086. And for the 10 a.m. is 22087. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine, and we take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Hanayeta R. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Hanayeta R. from Plano, Texas, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in remission today. I'll do the steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to the compulsive overeater who practices these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me be service.
Good morning.
You all have a
great
weekend.
Thank you, Hanietta R. And to read the 12 steps is Anita L. Anita, please read for us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups of OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Excuse me. Sorry. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Have a great day. Enjoy the birthday party, and I pass.
Thank you, Anita L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. And so to share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 72, the second paragraph, starting with the eighth sentence. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves, reading to the end of the paragraph. And I am now going to ask Nancy R. to get us going. Nancy, thank you. Nancy R.?
Hi, Nancy. Can you tell me again where we are? For some reason, I am not seeing it.
We are on the second paragraph, four sentences up from the bottom. Time after time, newcomers have tried.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Hi, everyone.
It's Nancy R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Well, there's a few italicized words in what I just read. So, you know, italics are words to pay attention to. So here we are in our fifth step. I don't know that I purposefully didn't tell all my life story in my fifth steps. I think a lot of it for me was that I went back and picked up the food because I hadn't put down on paper or admitted to God or to myself, even before admitting to another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs, you know, things that I wasn't even aware of. And thankfully, I had the willingness over the years. It wasn't always easy. It didn't always come easily, I should say, in the willingness. And unfortunately, there were years in between where I would relapse and pick up the food. But, you know, it's thankfully I was able to go back and do additional fourth and fifth steps and continue to tell this other person or these other people all of my life story. And I don't know, you know, I've been recovered for a little over 3 years now, which is just a miracle. And 3 years ago when I did my last thorough fourth and fifth step, I did have things that I had never told anyone before. But it wasn't that I had, well, some of them I probably held back purposefully, but others were just things that had not been revealed to me. And so, you know, it's been very helpful to go back and do additional fourth and fifth steps. And also the other thing that's very helpful is to keep that inventory clean, to keep there are new things, you know. And when I continue, my higher power continues to give me more humility, more fearlessness, more honesty, so that I can continue to keep myself current with doing, you know, the 10 steps when I feel.
Mental reminder.
Thank you so much. But with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Nancy R. from Illinois, for getting us started. So it's now time for open sharing, and I'm going to be ready to take a list of names. But before I do, let me remind everyone that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that other might share their experience too. So if you shared on any vision meeting Wednesday or Thursday, we ask that you step back so others can share. And who would like to share with us this morning?
Janice Pia.
Tanya D.
All right, I got Janice, Hanayetta.
Jessica M.
Tanya D.
Jessica C.
Anybody else want to join this first group? We can take a couple more names. All right, this is who I heard. I've got Janice, Hanayetta, Jessica M, Nadia. Okay, Nadia. All right, let's start. Let's stop there. And let's start with Janice PM, followed by Hanayetta R. Janice, you have the floor.
Well, thank you, Nancy, and thank you for your service. And good morning to everybody on the line, on the West Coast, on the East Coast. my name is Janice PM, and I live in Massachusetts, and I'm a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Okay, you know, I'm going to share on this paragraph according to my experience, okay? And when it says, time after time, newcomers, well, I'm going to add, yeah, newcomers and long-timers, because I didn't do this. I'll tell you what I did do. Time after time, I knew what I was keeping to myself, because for different reasons that I had as an addict, as a compulsive overeater, I had shame. I didn't want you to not like me. So I didn't make a mistake. I did it on purpose. I held something very, very shameful that I behaved like and didn't want to tell anybody. So it didn't matter how long I was in the program. And each time that, you know, I picked up the food, put it down, and said, nope, not going to tell this. Every time I helped somebody else, I lied, I cheated, I manipulated, because I'm very, very self-centered. What would I do without this behavior? You know, I was fearful. Very fearful. Was I dishonest? Of course I was dishonest. I was fearful. I was dishonest, like it says. And, you know, that's not a good place for me to be. And I had all kinds of reasons why. Self-justification, you know. And I really believed this lie. I believed God knows. Yeah, he sure did. He knows. I thought that I lost my egoism, my self-centeredness by telling about other things. But this one thing that I held back, I kept picking up my food. And I'm saying, that can't be related to that. They said here that it's vital. It's as vital as my heart beats. If I don't have my heart beating, I die. And I found out after many decades and many relapses, that if I don't let this go to another, which I did, to a beautiful, recovered, compulsive overeater, my sponsor, it was the best thing that I did. She didn't shoot me. She did not like me after that. She did the same thing. Little did I know. She shared her experience. So you see, my thinking.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. I'm going to pass with this. My thinking, I really thought I was humbling myself and that I was fearless. No, no, no. All my life story is not 20,000 pages of my fifth step. It's every little dark secret. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM from Massachusetts. And next up, we have Hanayetta R. from Texas. Hanayetta, you have the floor.
Thank you again this morning. This is like such a. I'm Hanayetta R. from Plano, Texas, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And it says here, thought they had lost their egotism, thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough humility. And I had 10 years of beautiful abstinence, and I got really into a lot of service, a lot of service, a lot of service, and was the chairperson for a couple of different parties, like the birthday party, but I was the chairperson, and I was in these plays, and I did everything. And after 10 years of abstinence, I lost it because of egotism. you know, and I thought, because I thought I was the end-all, be-all of everything. I had put myself on a pedestal, and so did a lot of other people, you know, and I fell off, and when I fell off with a huge bump, a bang, and the 100 pounds I'd lost, I gained back. And it took me 6 months of eating nonstop and coming back totally humiliated and said, I'm ready. And again, lost another 100 pounds and was abstinence another 10 years. And anyway, we won't go any further, but thank you, God, for bringing me to this place where I am today, that I'm so much different. And I really watch, not try not to get into egotism, not be that egocentric with a, you know, with a an egocentric with a inferiority complex, which is the way I lived for a long time. But I want to tell everybody, don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle, because your miracle is out there. Everybody has a miracle. If you've already had them, there's more out there. I see miracles in my life every single day. And this one, don't quit. Please don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. I am going to pass with that. Thank you so much again for your service, dear Nancy.
Thank you, Hanayeta R. from Texas. And next up, we have Jessica M. from the great state of Michigan. Jessica, you have the floor.
Hi, this is Jessica M. Can I be heard?
You can.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Jessica M., compulsive overeater in Michigan. Yeah, what a great reading, and thank you all for the shares. I think what jumped out at me from this was just honesty. You know, if I'm deliberately keeping things to myself, it's almost always out of fear. It's almost always because I'm afraid that, you know, this is going to be the most horrible thing somebody has ever heard, or the most horrible thing that somebody's ever done, or it's going to make me look bad, or all of those different things. And that fear really, for me, kept me in relapse for years. You know, I couldn't admit that there were things I was doing, things I was holding on to, that I needed to talk about, that I needed to give away and get out of myself. Honesty isn't for God. God doesn't need my honesty. He already knows what I'm doing. The honesty is for me, so that I can see it and I can tell it and I can talk about it and I don't have to be ashamed of it or hold it in or hide it. That keeps me in my disease. That keeps me in relapse. And every single time, every time that I have prioritized honesty and just taken the jump and said, here's what I got, it has never been a disaster, and it has never turned out the way that my fear, you know, my fear told me it would, you know. And so that, you know, makes me think of other aspects of the Big Book that talk about how fear is corrosive, fear is evil, fear is destructive. And that's how it, that's why, because it leads me to dishonesty, leads me to hiding things. I love that it italicizes thought. You know, I only thought I lost it. I thought I humbled myself. On my own, I will. I'll get stuck in my own head. I'll think I'm great. I think that just me and God can get this done. But this paragraph reminds me that, nope, I have to tell someone else all my life story. I can't just tell it to God. Again, God already knows it. He already knows all of my life story more than I do. So if I tell it to somebody else, you know, that love of God, that love of my higher power gets transmitted through that person, and then I can really feel it and really see it. I had this experience after my fifth step in my hour of meditation. I'd written down everything in my fourth step that I thought I could hear, but in my meditation hour, I heard some other big fears and resentments that I had not seen. But thank God for that hour, and thank God that I was able to tell that to someone and tell that to my sponsor, because it cracked open a deeper spiritual recovery by being able to do that. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Jessica M. from Michigan. And next up, we have Tanya D. And Tanya, before you share, let me just remind everyone that today we are on page 72 in the Big Book. We're in midway through the second paragraph, starting with the A sentence, time after time, newcomers have tried. And Tanya, if you tell us where you're from, you have the floor.
Hi, this is Tanya D., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Thank you for leading the meeting, and thanks for letting me share. Yeah, you know, this paragraph, and I appreciate everything that's been said. You know, I think there's like two kinds of things that I might not share on a fifth step. One is just something that I'm not aware of, you know, just something I haven't realized. And I think that's okay. Like, I remember my first fourth step. I admitted, you know, my part to the extent that I was a people pleaser and fearful and, you know, sort of recognized all the character defects that I thought could get me sympathy, you know. But I didn't really see my ego and my extensive self-seeking. And that was okay because I genuinely wasn't aware of it. And, you know, this program, it, like, we claim spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection, right? If I knew everything that was wrong with me, then in terms of attitudes and stuff, of course, actions are different, then I would just be done very quickly, right? Maybe. But I have had things revealed to me that I wasn't aware of. And the key for me is, like, when I'm become aware of them, then I need to inventory them and definitely share them with another human being. Because I think the kinds of things that they're talking about in this paragraph is knowing about, you know, my part or a harm that I've done, and not deliberately holding it back, you know, with rationalization, thinking I don't need to share it and so on. Like that, I do believe can be very harmful, and I have to be on the lookout for that. And yeah, and I do think it's talking about kind of the things that we put on our fourth step inventory. Like, I think sometimes people have taken the life story bit and thought, okay, I just need to like literally write a biography of my life. And for me, that can be like an ego feeding proposition. Like, look at everything that's happened to me. Look at everything I've done. Like, I think here what it means implicitly are the things that we're supposed to be inventorying it, like how self manifested in various ways has contributed to my problems. And again, like the harms that I've done. And I can trust that if I'm doing the work thoroughly and, you know, working with a recovered sponsor, then the things that will go on there are what needs to be on there, you know, what I'm aware of, and more will be revealed. Yes, yeah, so I think for me, the key thing I see in this paragraph is not deliberately holding anything back. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tanya D. from Illinois. And next up, we have Jessica C. from Canada, followed by Nadia E., and then we'll be taking some more names. Jessica, please share with us.
Hi, thanks, Nancy. Hi, Jessica C., recovered compulsive eater in Ontario, Canada. So I've never really had a problem sharing my life story with someone when it comes to working the steps, but earlier versions of my fourth and fifth step that were not guided by the big book, I left out a lot of the harms I had done just because I wasn't aware of them. Because these early versions were more about getting another person to know me well and to feel seen, and to sort of get them on my side. But none of that went anywhere useful. And it's similar to what the last person shared. Like, I really didn't learn anything new about myself. I was more getting, it was more of like a form of self-obsession and self-centeredness and getting more and more married to my side of the story. But when I was introduced to doing an inventory the big book way, which is outlined, you know, the column method, which is outlined on page 65, you know, where it gives me some parameters where I focused on where I was resentful, you know, what instinct or was fearful about something or what instincts were involved. You know, it felt awkward to have those boundaries when I was doing the inventory that way, because I really, again, wanted to elaborate on my experience. But this big book way, again, gave me these really useful parameters. And, you know, it really, again, brought me somewhere useful where I recall my sponsor pointing patterns in my resentments, fears, and sex conduct, you know, things like where I was deeply entitled or wanting special treatment all the time, or not wanting to work that hard, but wanting accolades, and how all of that was causing harms, which I started to become more aware of. And all of these things, you know, made my fear worse. And you know, I was exhibiting so much selfishness. So, yeah, I just appreciate this really useful, practical way of doing a fourth and a step. You know, all of my journaling and all of my, like, sort of, you know, all that writing that I would do and, you know, psychological techniques just didn't help me in the way that this method really helped me. And, you know, when I, in terms of, you know, feeling fully known or seen by other people, like, God knows my whole story. He knows the whole story. And, you know, my relationship with him and his validation is all that really matters. So, yeah, I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica C. from Canada. And next up, we have Nadia E. If you could tell us where you're from, Nadia, and then we're going to take another list of names.
Good morning, family. It's Nadia E. from Toronto. And, you know, my higher power has been pushing me to just, you know, press star one and share. I was thinking.
Hey, Nadia, you're a little bit muffled. Can you clear up your thing at all?
Yeah. Does this help at all? Can you hear me?
Yes, that's better.
Okay, good. I was saying that my higher power knows me inside and out. The more that I get closer to my higher power on a daily basis, and I get more and more honest with myself and God and another person, more is being revealed to me, and I'm beginning to get more courageous. So this wonderful paragraph that we're reading, where it says, trying to avoid this humbling experience. And when I try to do something, it's me trying to do something, and it doesn't work. But when I surrender and say, God, this is coming up, this fear, this disturbance is not peaceful. It doesn't feel, I feel like a fraud. I feel like a fraud. And so my higher power is pushing me gently pushing me towards my more deeper recovery, deeper acknowledgement of what I'm thinking, all the lies that I'm telling myself. And this morning, my dear sponsee was saying that she's surrendering her food and, like, doing a prayer that that God would help her and all compulsive overeaters all over the world to have peaceful food.
Can't hear a thing.
And I realize that if my food is loud, it's because there's a disturbance. There's something that I'm avoiding. And this morning I'm beginning to do another step 10 turnaround. And that feels good. That feels clean. And I wish everyone a wonderful day. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nadia E. from Toronto. And we're going to take another list of names, but let me remind everyone where we are. We are in the big book. We're on page 72, middle of the second paragraph, starting with the time after time newcomers have tried to keep to themselves, to the end of that paragraph. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you share every third day in order to let other people share. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let other people's be heard. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Leia. Anita L.
Anita. have plenty of time.
Tamara C. Lauren.
Tamara C.
Lauren Grace B.
Lauren Grace B.
Nick F.
Judith S. P. Pardon me?
Judith S. P.
Judith. Gotcha, Judith.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie M. All right, let's stop there and see where we end up. I have Leah A. S., Anita L., Tamara C., Lauren Grace B., Nick F., Judith S. P., and Anne Marie M. Leah S., you have the floor. Please tell us where you're calling from, Leah.
Thank you so much, Nancy. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered in Brooklyn, New York. And this paragraph spoke so loudly to me because I needed to share. What is secret to me? What is something I don't want you to know? Something that is, it becomes a burden, and it becomes more burdensome. And then all these emotions, fear and egotism and the wanting to project myself, these things, as we go along, step 5, we're going to get to step 10. And step 10 is going to make us do inventory again and again about these things that we kept secret about ourselves and myself. And I'm talking about myself. And it invariably can get me drunk. It can lead me right away to overeating again. And then I'll say, oh my God, where did I come over here for? I mean, I didn't want to get here. You know, so half measures do not avail us. It does not work for me in my program. And there's something that I learned, that if I'm being judged, I need to be more understanding of other people. If I'm being rejected, then try to do acceptance a little bit better. If I'm being shamed, have compassion a little bit better. Be the person that you really strive for and strive to be it a little bit better. And you will heal, and it will set you free. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. Next up, we have Anita L. Anita, where are you calling from, please?
Good morning. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I wanted to share because this paragraph actually is exactly where I'm on today. Time after time, you know, when I try to keep something to myself, I'm in trouble. And that's why last night when I was doing my 11-step review, I shared something with my sponsor and said, I want to talk to you about this tomorrow because this afternoon I'm actually doing a 5th step with my sponsor and I need to add something else. And I don't want to hide anymore because I want to be well. And the more I expose my real self, you know, what goes on in my life today and how I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect because I'm human. And I know that my higher power loves me unconditionally and accepts me for all that I do. And when I can get clean and share with another person my whole life story, you know, yesterday I did call another OA or called me actually, and I was able to share a little bit about what happened. I was on vacation the past week with family, so you know what that could be like. And so that's what I need to share, where I was wrong, not so much what my son did, but what did I do? How did I react and cause a problem for him? Probably, you know, we haven't really talked about it yet. So I need guidance, and where the word thought is in italics twice, that just shows me my thinking gets me into trouble. I need help from another human. And I go to someone who is recovered, who is one of God's messengers. That's what I believe anyway. God's angels on this earth who can help to spiritually guide me and help me to be as well as possible, to lead me in the path of freedom. And that's where I want to be today. I'm, you know, the food is clean. The food is down. You wouldn't believe what I was around this past week. And the obsession has been lifted. Thank you, God. However, my emotions, my spiritual way of living is not exactly where I want to be today. So I need to do another fifth step.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. And I'm so grateful that we have these guidelines to get well. And have a great day, everyone. I pass.
Thank you. That was Anita L. from Pennsylvania. And next up, we have Tamara C. from... Tamara, remind me where you're from. You have the floor.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I'm living in Missouri. This is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater by God's grace and mercy. And I'm so grateful. And I, okay, so this thing about trying to keep to myself certain facts. When I did my fourth steps with sponsors, I really wanted recovery. I really, really wanted recovery. And as scared as I was, I just did it scared. I shared the parts of me that I wanted to keep secret. And although I was encouraged to not, like, I don't have to give the whole background story and all of that. And so even just following the parameters, you know, just keep the column simple and then get to my part. I did feel seen and heard, understood, accepted, and loved. And as I continued to share the truths that got uncovered in my 10 steps, there are some I notice, like, I feel this resistance. I'm embarrassed. The same defects and patterns are being stubborn. And I don't want to do the same 10th step on the same thing again. And I do. I do. And I, when I check in with my sponsor, I share these. I share what's been coming up, what keeps coming up. And whatever I'm tempted to keep to myself, whatever the thing is that I don't want to look at, that's what I share. Because the easier methods for me have been like, oh, I'm just going to share this with God. Just God and I, we're the only ones who need to know about this. Or I'm just going to focus on something else that puts me in a better light. But those easier methods, when that temptation comes up, then I hear, Cameron, how free do you want to be? And you are willing to go to any lengths for freedom and recovery. And so I go ahead and I share whatever it is that I don't want to, and I'm willing to be vulnerable, and it's scary, and then the results are amazing. I really believe that my higher power speaks through others, speaks through my sponsor, uses her experience, strength, and hope. She is uniquely qualified to be of service to me because of her own journey with her own old patterns and old ideas and recovery from them. And as she is growing, she shares with me and it helps me grow. And I am learning through all of this. I am learning enough of humility and fearlessness and honesty to hear the honest, loving feedback. And it just keeps me growing along spiritual lines. And I have a lot of growing ahead, and I'm willing in this moment to continue to share. And the results are so amazing that I never want to stop doing this. I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Tamara C. from Missouri. And next up, we have Lauren Grace V. Lauren, where are you calling from?
Good morning, everyone. This is Lauren Grace V., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from South Jersey. And this week in L.A., beautiful, sunny L.A. And the end of the paragraph drew my attention, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. So to me, what this is saying is that once I do tell someone all my life story, these will be the gift of the fifth step, humility, fearlessness, and honesty. And I just reflected on those three traits. The humility, first of all, I believe in the OA literature, it says, and maybe in the AA literature too, this program taught me I am no better or worse than anyone else, which was a huge revelation to me. And also in my faith literature, it talks about being sober-minded. And I thought of that, you know, I can't be sober-minded until I'm literally sober-minded. You know, abstinence is so important for me in the working these steps because the food will delude me. If I'm in my disease, I can't get the gift of honesty, at least in my, humility, I'm sorry, at least in my own experience. And then fearlessness. So I'm not a fearless person. There's a lot of things I'm afraid of. But I am fearless in admitting my harms and character defects and making amends. When I admit where I'm wrong, this makes me human, not awful. Whereas before, I felt like I was awful if I admitted things. There's no condemnation for me, you know. I'm just another person. And so I can be fearless in working my steps. And honesty means that I can see my part in the difficult circumstances and relationships that I find myself in. It's not just cash register honesty, although that's important. It's an honesty in which I ask God to reveal the lies I'm believing about myself, and God does. So I'm grateful for these promises. Of course, I haven't realized them perfectly yet, but I'm just grateful for the progress. And that's all I have to share. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lauren Grace B. from New Jersey, calling in from California this morning. Next up, we have Nick F. from Tennessee. Nick, please share with us.
Good morning, family. This is Nick F. And I'm in California, but I'm from Tennessee. Can I be heard all right? I got some new AirPods.
You can.
Okay, you can. Thank you, thank you. You know, to get to the text, you know, I really did try to sponsor myself. I had all the books. I would even buy new notebooks and new ink pens and little memo pads. And I would share my food with myself. I would write it down and share it with myself. And I remember I had the OA 12 and 12. Now, recently, the end of last year, I threw that shit in the garbage because it availed me nothing. I told myself all about me. Problem is, there's no objectivity when I'm telling me about me. Of course, I can't get well. This disease has done a great job keeping me alone. And it wasn't until I found out I wasn't by myself that I got free. It's a whole lot of people out here just like me get free. You know, I'm going to be real with you. I threw that in the garbage because I already didn't work the steps through the big book. And then I did work the steps in the OA 12 and 12, you know, not trying to lose no weight, but God took away 220 because that's how honest I was trying to get. You know how honest you got to be to not be eating what 220, just say, you know what, Sam, I'm going to just go ahead another direction. You know, I linked up with a little lady, older lady, 83-year-old lady in Louisiana. She was about 80 back then. You know how much love it takes? I'm a little black lady. And Memphis, Tennessee, and this lady in Louisiana, man, she just opened her heart. She got in that 400-pound grave with me, and she heard the things that I had to say about how much I hated myself. And the barriers were gone. It was no more secrets. I wasn't sharing with myself. You know, this was during COVID, and before I had the courage to pick up a phone, we would email. So I got used to writing and emailing all the way before I got to a fourth step. I got used to telling about myself before I got to a fifth step. You know, it was habit by then. I was used to being honest. I was used to crying. I was used to asking questions. And that's what it takes. And thank God that I get to be here today. I am not alone. I ain't said no time, so I'm going to just pass with that. I'm looking forward to this deal that's going to go on. Thank God, and thank you, Ms., for moderating. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Nick F. from Tennessee, also in California. And next up, we have Judith S.P., followed by Anne-Marie M. And if you would each both take 2.5 minutes, we can fit you both in. Judith, you have the floor.
Okay, good morning, everybody, wherever you be. My name is Judith S.P. in Maryland, and thank you, Nancy, and for everybody. When I heard this paragraph or this part of paragraph, I felt like it was holding a mirror right up to me, and I was looking at Judith because, you know, when I, time after time, I tried myself, right? I tried easier ways. I was going to do it. I was going to lose weight. I was going to give up the night eating by just not eating, right? Not. And also, there, you know, earlier in the book, it says, it instructs, am I willing to go to any length? Well, am I willing to go to any, not what I think is the length I'll go. Maybe I'll go an inch, maybe I'll go a foot, but don't ask me to go a yard or even a mile because it's too much, right? So when I don't really look at, as I had to do in my inventory, I needed to clean the house thoroughly. If I didn't clean and continue every day to clean my internal house, and live in God's love and light, I'm going to trip over myself, and the rest of the steps and the prior steps are going to be nothing to me. So it goes back again to me, is God everything or is God nothing? Even if at the fourth step I hadn't been fully awakened, but I have to, you know, the italic words, thought, thought. I cannot think anymore. Plan A, Judith's plan does not work. Plan B, God's plan, is where I live from the heart. So this is a wonderful reminder. And now the mirror looks a little shinier. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Judith S.P. from Maryland. And last year today will be Anne-Marie M. Anne-Marie, please tell us where you're calling from.
Yes, hi. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, and miraculously recovering from compulsive overeating. So grateful to be here. So grateful to God. So I too did not hold back things purposely, and yet I also held back some things purposely. So it was both for me. And this last time I revealed something that I didn't think I'd ever want to tell anyone. And it was so relieving that my sponsor came back to me and told me something that she had not wanted to tell anyone. She had already told someone, but she was kind enough to share something with me. And that was like so helpful for me. The biography, my very first time when I first came into AA, 1985, when I did my fourth step, which it took me almost 4 years to do my fourth step, it took me over a year to do it, actually, but to actually sit down and start it, it took some time. I did write a biography, and I just wrote and wrote and wrote, and I went to, and I know later on we're going to be talking about who you can go to see or who you can go to talk with, and I was so afraid to tell my sponsor at that time about myself, just ashamed so much. So I went to a priest and I just sat there shaking with my biography and reading line to line, and he didn't say a word and gave me some prayers to say afterwards. And you know, someone had told me you're gonna feel like a ton of weight off your shoulders. Well, I walked out of there so heavy, and then I did it with my sponsor. And again, like this past sponsor, she started sharing things, started kind of interrupting me, and like, I did that, and she shared some things with me, and it was just so revealing. So it was my pride and my ego that held me back from holding those things that I didn't want to share. All right, I'll pass. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Anne-Marie M. from South Carolina, and thank you to everyone who shared and everyone who listened on the meeting today. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing of this meeting. The share ID for today, Friday, the 17th of January, is 22087. That's 22087. And we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tamara C., please read for us.
Yep, Tamara C., recovered in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you